We're here to talk about how shitty Bray Wyatt's return has been. Came back. Everybody was hyped. Extreme Rules 2022 after the main event of Seth freaking Rollins and Matt Riddle in that iconic pit match.
Yeah.
With that UFC fighter, what's his name? Daniel Cormier?
Yeah. Uncle Phil was a referee.
Yeah. And everybody, he got a big reaction. Everybody was hyped on social media. But I saw right through it. I see who Bray Wyatt is, and that is a bum.
I don't know if bum's the right word.
Bum's the right word. Bray Wyatt is a bum. He's not entertaining. His characters have never been entertaining. To me, my opinion, I'll go on my limb. I've never been entertained by Bray Wyatt or any of his characters. It's always more show than actual follow-through with him. And I feel like a lot. This is kind of let's set the table here. This is all coming from a recent report that came out saying that he's not redoing the Fiend or the Swamp People gimmick, and a lot of people got upset about it.
With fair reason. I mean, a lot of times, I'll admit, when wrestling fans get upset on the internet, there's not really a reason to be.
They're fickle.
Yeah, but this time around, I mean, but before Bray Wyatt left, obviously, he was the Hawaiian shirt-wearing, Waylon Mercy ripoff cult leader with Luke and Eric. And then he slowly became, I think he transitioned, they call it the Eater of Worlds phase. And then it was the Fiend and the Firefly Funhouse. And everyone suspected, because I mean, with fair reason, when he came back out, they showed real life versions, like people versions of his Firefly Funhouse characters, and the Fiend, and everyone was all excited. You know, it talked for a while. Even Alexa had about how that story never really got a pretty bow on it. You know, the story goes, he couldn't take Vince McMahon's thrashings, so he kind of put his tail between his legs until he got fired. So he's going to come back, finish the story. All the pieces were still there. I mean, Randy Orton's still with the company. Alexa Bliss is still with the company. With Triple H in charge. I mean, Bo Dallas is rumored to be signed back. There's the rumor, I don't know if you remember when Bray first came back, that Eric Rowan had signed. Strowman returned either shortly before or shortly after this. I mean, obviously, Luke Harper, Brody Lee can't be there, but every other puzzle piece is there. And it really doesn't do much. There's reports that his first match back and a couple matches after that were all house shows. The first one at Madison Square Garden against Jinder Mahal, in what probably should have been called the Battle of the Two Most Disappointing WWE Champions in the last 20 years.
Yeah. I thought Jinder had a better reign, to be honest. But, well, that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, and I'll halt this rant for a second. I've always liked Bray. I really like the cult leader stuff. I thought him and Luke Harper were solid. Less said about Rowan, the better. When Randy came into the fold and they were on SmackDown, I thought that was a fun little dynamic. Even though they pretty much just copied the Daniel Bryan angle from like a year or two before. And I mean, even the Firefly Funhouse and the Fiend was fun because it was, you know, like a horror movie Jekyll and Hyde. You know, you didn't know what was going to happen next. They kind of ruined that by having the whole EQ loss and the loss to Goldberg and getting set on fire. And but again, not his fault. Basically, he comes back, he's got all these characters, and he does nothing, he fights Shinder, and then he's essentially thrust into a feud with LA Knight, which LA Knight, goddamn, I'm so glad he's not with the Triple M anymore. So glad he's not Max Dupree. When he was Eli Knight with Impact and NWA, he'd one of the best talkers, great in the ring. He's definitely got a future with the company as long as, you know, he doesn't do anything terrible off screen. But people are wondering why LA Knight. And I know normally when someone comes back or someone wins a big title, you have what I've started to call the Dolph Ziggler feud, because it seemed for a while Dolph Ziggler was always the first person fed to a new person or heavyweight champion. And that was LA Knight. And I couldn't understand why, because you knew he was going to lose because it's Bray's return match. And then I read a couple interesting articles that said, they didn't name names, that quite a few of the big main eventers in WWE and even a producer or two did not want to work with Bray because of his attitude. And, you know, we've seen these articles, we've heard a lot of things like this about many wrestlers. You know, your CM Punk's, Sasha Banks's, and I think with Punk and Banks, there's that little thought in the back of your head, like, oh, is this just hearsay because of, you know, the Young Bucks and Omega not liking Punk, or Sasha not being viewed as highly as, say, Charlotte and Becky. But with Bray, this was the first time I didn't have that little voice in the back of my head, like, oh, that's just the internet for you. I mean, everything we read after he left and when he was coming back, he's got to be up there with Punk as, what's the word I'm looking for? Whiny? A baby?
Yeah, that's entitled.
Yeah, and I get it.
He always struck as me as somebody that thought he deserved more than what he got.
Yeah. Like, and it's interesting to me because it's never because of his family. You would think it would be a family thing. I mean, one of the great tag teams of all time, the Blackjacks. One of the Blackjacks is his grandfather. Mike Rotunda, who, you know, was the IRS, and then Mike Rotunda in the NWA, won pretty much every title you could except a heavyweight, is his father. Barry Windham, who's regarded as one of the best workers of all time, is his uncle. But it was never my dad's this or my uncle's this. It was always because of his ideas he had. And to swing back to what you said about earlier, it's more about show. Like I said, I love the Wyatt characters, but Cult Leader was heavily inspired by Waylon Mercy, who was a 90s WWE superstar portrayed by Dan Spivey. The Fiend, the best part about that, wasn't Bray's in-ring work, but it was the mask made by legendary horror director, producer, star Tom Savini. So, I mean, the memorable things about Bray didn't do. I mean, if you compare him to who he's compared to so often, The Undertaker, nobody ever looks at Undertaker and goes, oh, man, that was all Paul Bearer. Or, oh, that was all the guy who made his costume or the guy who made his motorcycle. Taker's memorable moments are from Taker.
Yeah.
Bray's memorable moments, I mean, when they first debuted, but then they went into that stupid, it wasn't even an Inferno match. It was like a fire ring match with Kane. And then, I mean, other memories that come up, Eric Rowan getting jobbed out to The Rock. Bray losing to Cena and being one of his victims. Bray getting set on fire. The sperm when Randy Orton came down and fought Bray.
Yeah, I think most of Bray Wyatt's moments that you remember are bad.
Yeah.
Like, I think the only great thing that I can remember from is the Firefly Funhouse match with Cena during the pandemic because it was pre-recorded. Everything else has been pretty bad.
The swamp stuff with Braun, and then a lot of people forget they did stuff with the New Day. Wasn't very good. The only time that the swamp stuff was relatively good was when Broken Matt was there, in my opinion. And it's because Matt pretty much, he's the godfather of that kind of match. But I feel like if you have a bad pre-recorded match with Matt Hardy, you're going to be the problem.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other issue too, is Bray saw what Matt was doing and he's like, oh, I can do that. But unfortunately, he couldn't.
Another one of great Bray's quote unquote great moments was his feud with Daniel Bryan, but that was all Daniel Bryan
too. Yeah, that's the thing. People never they never remember it for just Bray. And then, I mean, even his titles, we touched on his WWE title run, and I swear, unless they tell you that on TV, nobody remembers that he won it. Especially, nobody remembers that he pinned Cena for it. Like, he eliminated Cena in the match.
Yeah.
You think that would be huge? Nope. But if you go through, you know, WWE champion, Universal champion twice.
He lost Raw tag. The Universal title to Roman and Goldberg, right?
Yeah, okay. Bray hates Spears.
This is his weakness. You think he'd be like good against Spears with that gut?
It's no titanium plate.
I know.
But he I don't know if you remember, he won the tag titles twice.
With what? Who, May? Matt Hardy and...
Yep. The second time, it was the Freebird rule where Orton and Harper won it.
Okay. Yeah.
But still, like, you don't... There's a lot... Bray's had a long history. Like, it's more than just the Fiend in the Funhouse. He came around 2012, 2013, and he was there until 2021. But people only remember these snippets, and I think that's telling. And I'm not saying that everyone's going to remember everything from one guy. But you'd think with someone... the best comparison I have to Bray is Ultimate Warrior. Ultimate Warrior had this long career, and when people want to remember the good, they have these moments. Him and Savage, the retirement match. Him and Hogan, title versus title. The Ultimate Maniacs reteamed with Savage. But people tend to stick to the bad with him, too. And I know it sounds like we're just dumping on Bray. But I mean, for someone who's came back twice in the past 2 years and is supposed to have all this momentum, all this fanfare.
Yeah,
you can't just blame Vince, because this time around Vince hasn't been there.
No.
And I know what people say, oh, he signed back, because the rumor is that he and Vince were in talks. Because again, like the Warrior, it sounds like Vince loves him, but he also hates him. So I mean,
that's I think that's true with a lot of people with Vince. It's like he loves him one day, and then he wakes up the next day fucking hating him after his 30-minute nap for the day.
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry, there's a fucking train going by. But,
is it the A train?
No, actually, oh shit, it's the Strowman Express, actually. You hear us talking shit about Bray.
Oh, no.
What has another fucking loser? Oh my god.
Anyway, yeah, we've touched on him before.
Yeah.
Nicholas.
I'll gladly touch on him again.
This Bray thing, and I mean, he's got time to develop, because I'm sure they're holding off until Roman drops one of the titles, and then Bray, will... I'm assuming on one show, when the brand split happens, it's going to be Roman and Drew, and on the other side, it's going to be Cody and Wyatt.
I hope not. I don't want Bray going for a title.
And that's, I don't that's think my he problem. Needs a title.
That was my that was my thing with when he was the Fiend. Why is the Fiend going for the Universal title?
Yeah, I don't.
I know it worked with the Undertaker in the early '90s, but
did it really though?
Like, did it though?
Taker
was
only
Taker
went
a good WWE champion. Like when he beat Hogan at SummerSlam. Like, was that the best move? I don't know. We weren't alive then, so I can't gauge the reaction from there.
The reaction from everything that's been shown was shocking, but it helped move along the Flair feud, and that's what a lot of the Taker title wins were for a while. They moved things along, because that's why he lost it right back at the Tuesday in Texas. And then you figure the next time he snipped gold... is when he beat Psycho Sid, WrestleMania 13. And even then, it's because he didn't have a lot of people to have the title. You figure then he didn't hold it again until the late 90s. And even then, it was for brief snippets during the Austin feuds. Really, his longest titles came in the 2000s. And I still, to this day... The Undisputed Championship, if you look at who won it, it was almost like a thank you. Because it went from Jericho, Triple H, Hogan, Taker, and then The Rock, until Brock won it and it became the WWE title. But it was almost like the five guys Vince was saying thank you to or something in their career. And then Taker didn't hold another title till the World Heavyweight title, which again, that was in the twilight of his career, WrestleMania 23.
He was already like a certified legend at that point.
Yeah, he was supposed to be hanging it up, too.
Yeah.
And he didn't. So, but when Bray won it, to get back to that, I mean, sure, the Randy Orton thing, it played into that. Hoopla, they got one right. But the two Fiend ones, there's no reason. And that's the other thing. When Taker won the titles, like, Ministry of Darkness Taker didn't go after championships. Late 80s, early 90s Taker didn't go after titles. He was just put into the matches. It's not like he went to Vince and, you know, or targeted the heavyweight champion. He just targeted whoever he wanted. The Fiend purposely targeted heavyweight champions, which was dumb. And don't get me started on the Fiend championship.
That ugly thing?
I don't know why he needed it.
People really like that for some reason. I've seen a lot of belt collectors, like... really hype about it. And I know, and this is probably a good time to add this in, while we're both sitting here kind of shitting on Bray, or at least we're just disappointed in how his character has been handled, we kind of understand that we're in the minority here for this. I know a lot of people listening, and a lot of wrestling fans in general, love Bray Wyatt for whatever reason, as Bray Wyatt is behind just Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. I believe in merch sales, and they're the two people main eventing WrestleMania, which blows my mind. I don't know, but whenever I do go to a WWE event, there is a lot of people. Granted, most of them are lower common denominator type people. They're rocking the Bray Wyatt merchandise. You know, they're carrying. They got the
mantra. I've got a couple Bray shirts. I've got his first shirt where it has the lamb on it. And then I've got the Fiend hoodie where it's got the lantern on it, but you can't see it. And on the back, I forget even what it says now. Follow me? Let me in. It says, let me in. And I mean, I liked Bray when I got him, but it's also one of those things. It's rare to find a wrestling shirt that you can get and you don't have to explain as it's a wrestling guy. Both of those could be played on as horror movie shirts. So that's why I got those. No, but
I'd rather wear the APA always pounding ass shirt and with a Bray Wyatt shirt.
And like I've said, because I'm sure some of the people listening that know me, they're like, "Oh, I thought you liked Bray," and I do. I just think the thing is, I don't think he needs these characters.
Yeah, I like Bray Wyatt the person. I like the guy playing the character. I think he's a humble guy. I think he's nice. He always seems nice. I never heard anybody say anything bad about him personally. It's just I don't understand the hype of his characters when none of them have ever delivered. He has never delivered.
No. I don't know why you wouldn't just put him and Bo together as the Rotundas, or even if they don't think their dad could make enough, the Wyndhams.
Yeah.
Come out in cowboy boots. They can both wrestle. It's not both of them could work. They're both pretty good on the mic. Have them be like the tag team for, you know, Ric Flair is always jonesing for a Four Horsemen.
He's jonesing. He just said,
"But I mean, I think you
give me a horse."
And it's funny we're saying this because I remember around Starcast, we were like, it kind of makes sense for Bray to be there. That'd be fun. And now looking back on it, I'm kind of glad he wasn't, because I know he'd have been expensive. I'm not just saying that because he's full of himself. And Nia Jax cost like $150. All right. If Nia Jax could pull $150. Yeah.
Really?
She was one of the ones.
Oh, was she in like the special hall with like.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking lame. She's not that important.
She was one of them. Remember how you could get like a figure, a statue made of yourself with someone?
Oh,
she was one of them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We saw her when we were in line for, it was either.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Daniel Bryan or Mick Foley.
Yeah.
But, yep, I mean.
You're right.
But yeah, if she could pull $150, Bray probably could have got like $200 at that time for all the marks. But, and I think you hit the nail on the head earlier. Disappointed is the correct word. Because it always seems, and the thing, the biggest thing I dislike about him is whenever anything goes bad, it's never his fault.
Yeah, it's always somebody else's fault.
John Cena delayed his push. The Shield got pushed more than the Wyatts. Vince didn't like him. Ooh, Undertaker wasn't up to par when he fought him. That's why I said I think the Warriors are a perfect comparison. Because there's the same thing with him.
I don't know what to expect from Bray from here on out. Apparently, WWE's doing a Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Saw that.
And I was like, that's a great match for Bray to do.
No, you know my fear with it, because it's child-based, like the cereal is kind of aimed towards children, is this is when Nicholas is going to return, and if Nicholas returns at Mania, you'll hear me scream from my house.
I'll leave my windows open during Mania.
But to kind of give a little spoiler, at one point we're going to do a WrestleMania predictions, and I think if the rumors are true that main eventers don't want to work with Bray, what you do right now, since they seem to be burying him anyway, is have Bray Wyatt team up with Alexa in their characters, which they keep teasing Alexa, but if he's not becoming the Fiend again, then why is Uncle... Never mind. Have Bray and Alexa team up and face Karrion Kross and Scarlett, and have the match go 3 minutes. Bray and Alexa, both Sister Abigailing them, 1, 2, 3... For whatever reason, even though Karrion Kross was brought in as this badass, they want to keep burying him. But it'll be fine because Bray and Alexa's and Karrion's and Scarlett's entrances will both last like 15 minutes each. So the fans will get their money's worth.
Yeah, a half hour total. And they get to see the cool entrances. They get to see Bray Wyatt hit the cool Sister Abigail move.
Maybe they'll have Alexa pin Scarlett like she pinned Randy, and then the internet will just lose their minds.
Yeah.
Oh, the two pretty ladies are at each other. Oh, boy. Oh.
Oh, I think so.
But I mean, I hope good things happen to Bray. He did have that moment with Taker. It's supposedly a passing of the torch, which I kind of get, but I also thought a weird way to do it. I would have had tag team out there and Taker choke slam someone while Bray Wyatt's sister Abigail's him. I mean, I hope it was a passing of the torch, because a literal passing of the torch where he passed Knight to him, stupid. That's besides the point.
Maybe they bring Taker back in one more match.
Oh, don't do that. The man almost fell. The man almost fell going down the stairs to get to his bike. I don't think he could handle. I watched one of my heroes in Tennessee try and do a last match. I don't want to watch another. Nope. Gonna wash my hands of that.
Well, all he has to do is just take a 45-second match. You know, just do the same thing they were gonna do with Karrion, and just have it be Taker and Michelle McCool.
No. See, those two are talented. But anyway, like I said, they did this thing with Taker. I don't think Bray's going to do anything major at Mania, because this is going to be the Cody Rhodes party. Cody Rhodes and Rhea are hopefully who they're going to make the stars of Mania, but we'll see. But I think after Mania, like I said, with a brand split, we could see Bray definitely main eventing one of the sides. I know you don't want to see that. I'm okay with it as long as Braun and Eric Rowan don't get involved, because unfortunately, the better of the Wyatt family trio passed away a few years ago.
I think Braun will get involved just to piss us off. Like, why couldn't you just stay unemployed? Like, why did I have to bring him back?
Just end it there.
That's all, folks.
I think Brad will do it just to piss us off. Oh.